The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour, we're going to be talking with Professor Dr. Raymond Tantor, who's been on the show before. He's an expert in Mideast affairs and terrorism. We've got lots of wonderful music for you today. The portion of the week, which we'll be discussing in the second half of the show, is Re'eh, which is in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy. An awesome, really awesome Hasidic story. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Israeli cabinet voted on Thursday evening to approve an Egyptian request to send in helicopters into the Sinai Peninsula. Egyptian aircraft are not allowed over Sinai according to the Camp David Accords of 1979. The approval was given for a period of several days and allows five aircraft to enter the region. The move is designed to assist Egypt in its military operation against terrorism elements in the Sinai. Surgical airstrike by Israeli Air Force early this morning successfully eliminated at least two terrorists in a targeted terrorist cell in southern Gaza. The strike, coordinated between the IAF and Israeli security services known as the Shin Bet, was aimed at an al-Qaeda-linked global jihad terror cell located near the Gaza-Egyptian border town of Rafah. Two Palestinian men were charged in Israeli court after they confessed to the infamous year 2000 Ramallah lynching of two IDF reservists. The suspects were apprehended in a June raid as part of a larger operation against Hamas terror cells operating in Ramallah. A pro-Palestinian website published confidential details about 100 Israeli Air Force pilots. The website posted the pictures, names, and other identifying information regarding the pilots whose identity is supposed to remain confidential. In response, IDF officials have issued strict guidelines for posting personal information and pictures on social networks such as Facebook to all IDF soldiers. Estonia, which I don't even know why we need to be talking about Estonia, home of more than 1,000 Jews, will now require post-cut stunning on animals ritually slaughtered. A lot of rabbis don't like that. I won't eat meat that's stunned after it's been slaughtered. Austria, Denmark, and Finland all engage in the practice of post-cut stunning. Iceland, Norway, Sweden, and Switzerland have banned ritual shechita slaughtering entirely. And again, I reiterate, I don't understand why any Jew lives in Europe. Levi Aaron, the Brooklyn man accused of killing 8-year-old Leiby Kletsky last year, pleaded guilty to charges of second-degree murder and kidnapping in Brooklyn Superior Court. Aaron was facing at least 40 years in prison. Originally, he had pled not guilty to 8 counts of murder and kidnapping. He will be 86 at his earliest release date. The number of Israelis, here's some good news, the number of Israelis leaving Israel declined by 23%, a 40-year low, and 25% of immigrants who left Israel less than 5 years ago have returned. The number of Israelis currently living in the diaspora is estimated between 544 and 575,000, not including children born abroad. And finally, Anka Spitzer, the widow of Israeli coach who was killed at the 1972 Olympic Games, will leave a live-streamed worldwide minute of silence in honor of the 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team killed in a terror attack in the 1972 Munich Games. Spitzer will join the Maccabi Games opening ceremonies at the JCC in Rockland, New York, for the moment of silence to be streamed at www.jccrockland.org. Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on the line with Professor Dr. Raymond Tantor, who is a professor at Georgetown University. He's also involved with the Washington Institute of Near East Policy, an expert on terrorism throughout the world. How are you today, Dr. Tantor?
Shabbat shalom. Fine, thank you.
Oh, I'm glad to hear.
Hold on, let me turn this off.
That would be a good thing.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you so much. We've had you on a bunch of times, and we're always delighted when you can make some time for it.
Thank you.
We had an incident last week. If you would describe for people who weren't in the know, we reported it on the news last week, actually, and here on the Jewish Hour, of the incident that happened at the Sinai border with Israel. Please, Dr. Tantor?
Yes.
If you could tell people what happened first before we discuss the ramifications thereof.
Well, the Sinai terror attack occurred, and it's one of several attacks that have occurred in Israel since about 2004. And most of the attacks have been ignored by the government of Egypt. These are attacks that originated out of in the area of the Sinai that borders the Gaza Strip, the northeastern Sinai. The northeastern Sinai is the closest to the Gaza Strip, and it's the staging ground for most of the armed attacks on the Egyptian army, at least the ones that just occurred last week.
Okay.
I could go further.
Please give the details.
Yes. Let me just talk about the geography first for a bit.
Okay.
The tribes of the southern Sinai along the Red Sea coast, where Eilat is, where many of our Michigan tourists go in Israel, cooperate with the Egyptian authorities and split the tourist revenues. And some of the jihadists, some of the Salafists who are active in the mosques of El Arish, Egypt, some of the main mosques, have moved into northern Sinai. And the northern Sinai jihadists thought they were in good company when Muslim Brotherhood president became president of Egypt, but it was not to be the case. President Mohamed Morsi has rebranded himself as president of all of the Egyptians. And President Morsi tries his best to make sure that he is president not only of all the Egyptians, but also the ones who are who are in the Sinai, the Palestinians, if you will. So, do you want me to keep going? I can.
Yeah, just let me ask you, what's the demographics of the people actually that live in Sinai?
The people in the Sinai, many of them call themselves Palestinians, but many of them are nomads.
Druze or are they other tribes?
Not so many Druze. Druze are often thought of as being in Syria and elsewhere. But there are some Druze there in the Sinai. These are individuals who in the northeast depend greatly on revenues coming out of the smuggling of arms of people, and the global jihadists have hired many of the individuals who live in the Sinai. When I was in the Sinai during 1975, about 7 years in a row, walking around, wandering around the desert, there were no terrorists in the Sinai at that time. The terrorists were elsewhere. They bake good bread in the Sinai, by the way.
Okay. Just have to leave it out on a rock, I suppose.
Exactly.
Okay, so this incident happened. 16 Egyptian soldiers were killed. They commandeered a tank. They tried to break through the Israeli border. The Israelis blew up the tank that they commandeered. What's the?
The Egyptians did all of the military activities. The Israelis have stood back and allowed the Egyptian military operation began in the early hours of Wednesday morning, and it, as I mentioned, followed a rash of attacks where the Egyptian army was quite willing to allow terrorists to infiltrate near the border between Israel, along the border between Israel, Egypt, and Gaza. And there were 16 members of the Egyptian security forces killed. And this allowed, by the way, President Morsi of Egypt to become much more of a man of authority. So I would argue that the Sinai terror attack serves as an occasion for stronger ties between Egypt and Israel, and for stronger ties between the Egyptian military and Israel, and between the Muslim Brotherhood president and Israel. Why do I say that? Because crisis in the Sinai is an opportunity more than is the threat to both Israel and Egypt.
Okay, now people in Israel, and of course Jews around the world, have been watching the politics of Egypt since the whole Arab Spring, and have been actually concerned that the Muslim Brotherhood commandeered the Muslim Spring and turned it back into a Muslim winter. What are we seeing, Professor Raymond Tanter, with what's going on in Egypt?
Right. Well, Herschel Finman, I don't really, I'm not really here to defend the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood is an organization that is a radical organization, and I'd rather them not to have one of their presidents be ruling Egypt. But that said, he is the elected president of Egypt. So the issue is whether or not the Egyptian military will act as a counter, and the Egyptian military is acting as a counter, and Morsi has rebranded himself as a president with authority. He fired his intelligence chief, a man named Mouawfi, and who had been one of the most powerful figures in the security establishment, and replaced him by acting intelligence chief named Shehata, who was very heavily involved in the handover of Gilad Shalit last October. And Shehati, by the way, maintains extremely close ties with the Israeli Defense Forces and knows Hamas and Fatah on the Palestinian side as well. So Shehata's appointment could not be any better. It will certainly not weaken the security coordination between Israel and Egypt, and which has, by the way, continued even after Morsi was elected president of Egypt.
What do you make? We reported in the news, I don't know if you were online when I was talking about it, that the Egyptians asked permission to be able to fly helicopter gunships in the area around the Israeli border, which according to the Camp David Accords is not allowed. The fact that they even asked permission, the fact that Israel said, okay, so, you know, Jews always like to acquiesce, we're pleasers and we want, like, you know, we're the good guys, so of course we always say yes. But talk about the fact that the Egyptians even asked,
by treaty, the Egyptians are not allowed, the Sinai is demilitarized zone.
Mm-hmm. According they have an army there. I don't know about demilitarized, but yes, go ahead.
No, the Sinai is a demilitarized zone from the point of view of the formal armies of Israel and Egypt. That said, the Salafists haven't signed this accord, and therefore they have arms. The Sinai has become militarized, but not by the Egyptian army. So when the Egyptian army conducts military operations, it has to get permission from the government of Israel. When I served at the White House in the Reagan administration, one of my tasks was to monitor what's going on in the Sinai with the multinational force there and to provide the presidential authorization for any kinds of changes in the status quo in the Sinai. I was there in 1980 to 82.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no multinational force there. It's just the Egyptians, correct?
Well, I think there's a small multinational contingent in Egypt and in Lebanon.
Well, there's UNIFIL that we know about, yes.
But it doesn't really make much
Doesn't do a whole bunch of good, yes. Doesn't really work.
No, it's working. The Sinai was 95% of the territory Israel seized to prevent itself from being attacked in the 1967 war. So the Sinai is extremely important staging ground for attack, a war between Israel and Egypt. As long as the Sinai is demilitarized, and it's not a ground for Israel to be worried. You know, who am I? I'm a Gentile. 5,700 years of Jewish history are probably running through the minds of some of the listeners, saying, "Who is this guy Tanter anyway? He doesn't sound Jewish."
Oh, yes. But anyway, yeah. So what then do we see then as the developing relations with Israel and Egypt? We always talked about it in years past when we talked about it. Remember the first time we talked about the ramifications of all the peace processes that were going on and said, yeah, they have peace. And it was termed, and I don't know who termed the peace, what politico or socio, whatever, coined the term, it's a cold peace. So are we still cold peace? Is it thawing out a little bit in Egypt?
I don't think it's a cold peace when the Egyptian and Israeli security establishments are cooperating day and night against the Salafist jihadist, some of whom are al-Qaeda, trying to seize control over the northwest, over the Sinai Peninsula. I mean, it's cold, yes, from the point of view of do the Egyptians love the Israelis? No. I was in Egypt on a tour in the Sinai, and I ran into an Israeli tour in the Sinai, and I knew people on both sides of the tour. And someone said, these crazy Americans, they know everybody. Some of my former students from the Hebrew University were leading a tour of Israelis in the Sinai, and I was leading a tour of Americans from the University of Michigan in the Sinai. So I think that America has served as an interlocutor, a mediator between the two sides, and it's still doing that. So even though the peace process doesn't exist per se, the peace between Israel and Egypt seems to be holding even after the fall of Mubarak.
Okay, and you assess that it will continue to hold?
Well, I think it will continue hold because the Egyptian military is not going bye-bye. It's not going south and going to hide under a burning bush.
Yeah, even though Egyptian President Morsi did maintain that any previous documents signed, including the Camp David Accords, were null and void.
Repeat, please.
President Morsi maintains that any documents signed by previous administrations with the Israelis, including the Camp David Accords, are null and void.
Well, I'm actually not familiar with that particular statement, but he's certainly not acting that way. The tunnels, the smuggling tunnels between
right.
Gaza and Sinai, mm-hmm. they provide a livelihood for thousands of people in the Sinai, and they facilitate the movement of the global jihadists between Gaza and Sinai. And they're a key source of revenue for the Hamas government in Gaza. And what is happening now as we speak? Well, there are some... the Egyptian army and the Israeli army are cooperating in order to close some of the tunnels. And this is an example of Egypt and Israel cooperating together, and they're acting under the ground, and I think under the authority of the Israel-Egypt peace treaty of 1979.
Okay, let's talk about the tunnels. I've had Israeli diplomats, and I've asked them the question point blank. It's reported a story that some rockets come flying over the border fence from Gaza and hit something in Israel. And in response, the IAF destroys a tunnel. Why is it that the Israelis have to wait to, in response, to destroy the tunnel? Why don't they just destroy all the tunnels to begin with? And we're not talking about, these are not little ditch things. These are things that, you know, that would, what do you call it, compete with like the Lincoln Tunnel or the Holland Tunnel?
Look, how many tunnels do you guess are active tunnels between Egypt and Palestinian sections of Rafah, the Rafah crossing?
I have no idea.
Just take a guess.
20.
No, 20 is not a guess. Come on.
20 is not a guess?
No. You say 20 or plenty?
I said 20.
1,200, Herschel.
They have 1,000. There are 1,200 Holland tunnels going underneath the Gaza border.
No, not Holland tunnel. Well, no, these are underground tunnels.
These are big tunnels. You know, they smuggle tanks, they smuggle arms, they smuggle people. This is not.
No, most of them are small tunnels where people are coming through and small arms are coming through. But it's not a. And by the way, Israel has begun to reopen its border between Gaza and
Israel
in order to ship refrigerators and all kinds of goodies into Gaza. So Israel is doing its part to maintain some kind of order along that kind of border.
Right. I'm sure that makes Hamas very upset, because then they can't engage in black market. If you can get it on the white market, why pay black market plastic?
Exactly. You know, very proud of Israel on this. When you introduced me, did you say that I was going to Israel?
So? Not yet. We can talk about that now, as a matter of fact. Yes. You're going to be going, this is in September? In September, you're going to be addressing, this is something that I can't believe it even actually is happening, the annual Counterterrorism World Summit. And they're having it in Israel, which this is on 9/11. You're going to be talking about Iran and probably other things. Tell us about this summit, on counterterrorism around the world.
Well, counterterrorism is a growth industry in the world, as you can imagine. And Israel is one of the top places to hold a counterterrorism conference. And as some people, as you well know, the guns of August may be the guns of September and October in terms of between Iran, the likelihood of military action between Iran and Israel. So you have this interesting convergence of events. Counterterrorism by the Egyptian army in Sinai, along with the threat of military action by Israel against Egypt. And, just to return to the original theme of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
The Israeli Defense Forces are helping to train the Egyptian army in counterterrorism. The Egyptian army doesn't know how to conduct operations against terrorist groups in the Sinai. They are a conventional force army, just like the American army was a conventional army until it learned counterterrorism and began to chase the Taliban in Afghanistan and chase al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan, and now is going after the Haqqani network in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another example of Egypt and Israel cooperating on the security front. And this will be discussed by the top Israeli security people in Herzliya, in commemoration of the 9/11 attacks. I will be giving the major keynote address on Iran at this counterterrorism conference.
Mm-hmm. Besides your address, of course, I imagine that such conferences are filled with pontification. Does anything actually get done? Is there any substance?
Much gets done. It costs almost $1,000 a pop for people to attend, and most of the top Israeli security establishment will be there. I was there in 2007, and Bibi Netanyahu spoke, and his defense minister at the time, and all kinds of top level people, and they do get things done. This is a very important conference.
How many countries participate in this world conference?
I would say maybe 30 or 40.
That's pretty
countries
good.
Countries are not participating. Individuals are participating.
Yeah, I have to say, I have a daughter who actually lives in Herzliya for the time being, for the next year or two. And she tells me, I asked her, what do people think? What's the man in the street about Iran? And she said, what Iran? People are more worried about the price of cottage cheese than they are about Iran and Israel. What do you think about such an attitude, Dr. Cantor?
Well, if you go to Israel and you would sit out in front of some of these restaurants outside, people are not talking about Iran. They're talking about the daily life.
Mm-hmm.
During the Cold War, Americans didn't sit around talking about the Russian nuclear threat either. So it's not odd, but when people say what's happening in Hebrew, they mean what's happening with respect to the situation. The situation always was about the Palestinians. Now the situation is about Iran. If you go to the Jerusalem Post, Ma'ariv, Haaretz, you'll find the dominant national security stories are about Iran, not about the Palestinians. The Palestinians have faded away. There's no issue about settlements. Nobody's really talking about settlements. I gave testimony before the Congress in defense of Israeli settlements in 1977, before you were born, Herschel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kol HaKavod. So that's not being done now. I'm talking about Iran. So the major threat to Israel is Iran, not the Palestinian issue.
Okay, we're going to have to save Iran for another time. Our guest has been Dr. Raymond Tanter, who is an expert on terrorism on the world. How many books have you written about terrorism, Dr. Tanter?
Well, if you Google me, you'll find. I write mainly about Iran now. The last book is called Terror Tagging of an Iranian Opposition Organization.
That is a book
it's
about
Google.
Terrorism, yes.
It's on Amazon, as well as iTunes, iBooks.
Okay, terrific.
Shabbat shalom.
That's going to take care of us for today. We're going to wish you lots of continued success, and we reserve the right to give you a future call.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schulzfinman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Raymond Tanter is definitely one of those more enthusiastic people. I like having him. He likes to speak Hebrew. He knows more than a smattering. I mean, his accent is actually pretty good. If those people who know from the Israeli accent, the way he said Ma'ariv, and referring to the newspaper, and that's pretty good for an African American from Michigan. Let's see. We have a public service announcement. The ZOA, that's the Zionist Organization of America, together with about a dozen participating organizations, present Mr. David Tenenbaum, the Dreyfus of our generation, is quote-unquote. We had him on our show about 3-4 times. Mr. Tenenbaum shares a riveting tale of his false accusation of spying for Israel September 5th at 7:30 p.m. in the Holocaust Memorial Center in Farmington Hills. There is no charge. For more information, go to TenenbaumFightForJustice.com. Your organization have a event coming up, something meaningful. Send it off to me to www.rabbifinman.com, and we will report it on the show. What do we got now? Oh, it's time for a little musical interlude. This is Eighth Day. Just came out with a new CD. The CD is called All You Got. And the piece we're going to listen to is the title track, which coincidentally enough is called All You Got.
After 125 years, you go up to heaven, you climb all those stairs. They won't ask you were you wise like Solomon. They won't ask you were you strong like Samson.
Oh, no.
Just one question and you give just one answer. It's the end of the game and only one thing matters. They'll say, did you give it all you got? 'Cause in this life you only have what you got. So give it, give it, give it all you got. In this world we only have what we got. So give it, give it, give it all you got.
If you say it's easy, I'll say it's not.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say it's not for you, I'll say it's your lot.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say you're tired, I'll say tick-tock.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And you could put my album on a shelf to rot, just
give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
Wiping those tears, you look in the mirror, you face all your fears. Don't be a fool trying to be wise like Solomon. Only the weak try to be strong like Samson. Oh no, oh no. I did what I said, I got no one to blame. Only one thing matters at the end of the game. They'll say, did you give it all you got? 'Cause in this life you only have what you got. So give it, give it, give it all you got. In this world we only have what we got. So give it, give it, give it all you got. If you say it's easy, I'll say it's not.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say it's not for you, I'll say it's your lot.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
Say you're tired, I'll say tick-tock.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And you could put my album on a shelf to write, just
give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
I'll say it's not.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say it's not for you, I'll say it's your lot.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say you're tired, I'll say tick-tock.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
No need to put my album on the shelf to rock. Just
give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Listening to the Jewish Hour, we got some klezmer music coming from you. This is classic, because it's klezmer. In fact, that's the name of the piece. It's Yitzhak Perlman with the Israeli Philharmonic, and this last week was Klezfest up in Sfat in the Galil. My son tells me there was over 100,000 people flooded in for 3 days of nonstop music. Let's listen in. Yitzhak Perlman.
Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Do you find yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach, at 248-613-1804, 613-1804, and visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. You know, we've had on the organizers from the Jewish Star Contest. So we've got this year's winner is somebody by the name of Mendel Antelis, and he has cut his CD as the winner. This is Shirolo, Sing to Him is the name of the song. Tell me what you think on rabbifinman.com. Let's listen.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Herschel Fundman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Re'eh. Whenever I think Re'eh, I'm already thinking Rosh Hashanah because It's already Shabbos Vorchim. This week it happens to be Rosh Chodesh, the beginning, the first day of the month of Elul is this week on Shabbos. And Elul is the month which has been set aside for preparation for the holidays coming up a month afterwards. So there's no holidays in the month of Elul, just time to prepare for the month of Elul. So if that's the case then, if it is that the portion of Re'eh is always read, something in conjunction with the beginning of the month of Elul, everything in the portion has to be intrinsically connected with the month of Elul. One of the earlier commandments mentioned in this week's portion, there are 55 commandments mentioned in the portion of Re'eh, is the prohibition of what's called Shechute Chutz. A person is not allowed to build an altar in their backyard and offer a sacrifice. If you're going to offer a sacrifice, it has to be on the altar in the temple in Jerusalem. That's the deal now. This is very interesting. Of course, this is applicable to today because if somebody does build an altar in their backyard, they would be in prohibition in violating this commandment. It's still applicable because we're still not allowed to have private altars. But I would say the average man on the street really has no concern about building an altar in their backyard and offering sacrifices. You don't hear about that too much. Man builds altar and, you know, so no. So what's the deal? How am I going to relate to this mitzvah? I mean, I've always said that the Torah was written to be a lesson book, even in the year 2012. And what lessons are there? So it could be, why would a person want to offer a sacrifice in their backyard? Well, the word sacrifice in Hebrew means to come close. And a person wants to commune, you might say, with the Almighty, establish a deep essential relationship with the Almighty. And they're going to say, well, there's no temple. I can't get to Jerusalem. What's the big deal? God's just as much here as he is in Jerusalem, right? And the answer to that question, of course, is yes. But there are limits. The Almighty says, you want to make a relationship with me, it's on my terms. We had the opportunity to do it on our own terms. That was after Sinai until the golden calf. And God was more than willing to come to our living rooms and say, let's sit down and have a chat. But with the golden calf, God said, nope, you want to talk to me? You want to commune with me? It has to be in my place. You can't just roll your own. There are rules, yes. People ask me about the code of Jewish law. One of the things that really underwhelmed me when I first opened up the code of Jewish law, before I was religious, when I was 14 years old, maybe even earlier, maybe it was in Hebrew school we got exposed to some code of Jewish law. I don't remember anything from Hebrew school except throwing pencils in the ceiling, the drop ceiling. The details, the OCD, like paying attention to minutiae, tie your shoe this way, go to the bathroom that way, breathe this way. The breathing this way is an exaggeration, but the other two are not. Does God really care how I tie my shoes? Answer, well, it wouldn't be in the book if God didn't.
The idea being that if you worry about little things, well, then you're not going to transgress any big things. That's sort of kind of like the idea. God's keeping us so busy that we don't have time to get into trouble. But the Almighty says, yes, I've set up a whole system. We say it every at the end of our prayers. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha says that the Almighty wants to find favor in the Jewish people. Therefore, he gives them tons of mitzvahs to do, 613 with all the offshoots. The main thing is there is that the Almighty wants to establish a relationship with us. And as with everything else, there's a prescription. I remember attending a lecture. I have a friend who wanted to become a pharmacist and going to pharmacy school with him back in the 70s when I had break, and attending a lecture about making calamine lotion. And the professor said, this is how you make calamine lotion. And he took all the ingredients and he mixed them specifically. And he said, I'm going to take the same ingredients. I'm going to do it out of order. And he didn't get calamine lotion. So, yes, the details are important. If we want to establish a relationship with the Almighty, it can't be on our terms. You can't have a role your own. It has to be on the Almighty's terms. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. If you want to get in touch with me, RabbiFinman.com. You'll find a way to contact me on the contact page. You'll find archived editions of the show. We still have Rabbi Twersky's interview up for, like, I think until the end of the week. If you missed that one, it was about a month ago. We have archived editions of the U Parsha and Hasidic U Story, films of yours truly giving insights into the portion of the weekend's Hasidic stories of sorts. The E Parsha, written missives, which I send out weekly to over 14,000 people. You can sign up. You can read the archived editions there. And of course, the very, very important donations page. It's getting into Elul already. And Elul, one of the things we have to think about is, did we keep up with our 10%? You're supposed to give away 10% of your income. That's after taxes. To charity, but if you get a tax return, you have to give 10% of that away of that also. You're supposed to give 10% away. Am I keeping up with my 10%? Show the Almighty that you are indeed. Contribute to the Jewish Hour. It's a 501(c)(3) corporation. It's a charitable cause. The Almighty will love you and bless you if you do. We appreciate all that you've done till now. Thank God we paid off July and August this week. Baruch Hashem. People like you are coming through. You're part of the 90%ers. When I say 90%, because at this point, 10% of the show is paid for by sponsors and 90% is paid for by listeners like yourself. Go to the website, click on donations, donate any number that you see there or make one up yourself. All numbers are good. Want to send a check or money order? Send it to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. In preparation for Elul, well, people used to travel to their Rebbe's to go here, like for Rosh Hashanah, to hear the shofar blowing. And because they walked, because that's how they only means of transportation, it took several weeks to get there.
So this one person is a school teacher. He's living out in the farmlands, and he tells his employer that he is going to his Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah. And the guy says, what are you talking about? My kids, is this, that. So he says, nope, I am going to my Rebbe, who was the Alter Rebbe. He's talking about the end of the 1700s, to visit my Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah. I am not going to be here. So he says, the guy says, if it's so important to you, I'm going to go with. And they got into the cart, which is a good thing, because otherwise the guy would have walked. So this way he gets to go with horse and buggy. And they traveled all the way to Lyozhna. When he got to Lyozhna, they says, what's this line over here? He says, well, that's people waiting to go in for a private audience to the Rebbe. He says, okay, I'll stand here. This is the guy, the farm owner. He had no idea. He doesn't know what a Rebbe is. He doesn't know anything is over there. So it comes his turn. The Rebbe says, no. The man kept quiet. He says, no, he doesn't even know what he's supposed to do in there. No one told him what he's supposed to do. So the Rebbe looked at him again and said, no. He said, Rabbi, I'm sorry, I don't even know what I'm doing here. And he said, well, people come to people like me in case they did like certain things inadvertently wrong that they didn't know about. And he began to give a whole list of things that this man happened to inadvertently do. So this guy thought to himself, the teacher, he told the rabbi about all the things I do after how I treat him. And he stormed out of the rabbi's office, the Rebbe's office, and began berating this teacher. And he said, I don't know what it is that you're talking about. He didn't believe him. He said, you told the rabbi all the things that I do, and I'm firing you, and I'm getting a new school teacher. So the school teacher requested that the man have another audience, and the rabbi explained. So the Balta Rebbe explained to him that it's true. No one told me what you did wrong. I had no idea that those were things that you did wrong, but the expression in Yiddish is as if the cap fits. You know, it's a different part of the body than the shoe. And you should, in upcoming for Rosh Hashanah, get your act together. We got to bring our act together. We're going to back out slowly. And thank you for tuning in. We hope you had a good hour this hour. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We'll see you again back next week. Take care.